FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. And I'm Kerry Lutz. Well, it's been a while since we talked to this person last. I'm talking about Dunnigan Kaiser, and probably familiar with his website and his YouTube channel, and that is libertyandfinance.com. A lot of must-watch content coming out of there. I mean, Dunnigan, it's great to have you back. When last we spoke, you know, so many things we were talking about were so much in the abstract. As we talked before the pandemic, you know, we were talking about food prep, you know, personal defense items, gold and silver, all of this.
Severe weather.
Yeah, severe weather and God only knows what else. I mean, forest fires, I mean, riots, insurrection. And here we are. Somehow the country like is trying to project the semblance of normalcy, but this is anything but normal, isn't it?
That's right. 2020 and all that came with it from, I guess, fourth quarter of 19 and beyond. Or you can roll it back if you want to the start of the bond repo action by the Fed back in September 19 and say everything's been just bizarro since then. But you're right. The cavalcade of things that have happened in our midst and to us and around us have been unprecedented, number one. And number two, things that people would have not believed if you'd have told them the first half of last year. What would you say, you know, In the next 12 months, we're going to go through all of this. People would say, oh, boy, are you ever catastrophizing, or you got your tinfoil hat on, or you're a conspiracy theorist. But we've actually lived through a year that no one would have believed had we explained it to them in advance. And frankly, there's no end in sight. I mean, I'm sure your tagline about Financial Survival Network, it's about what's next. Well, what is next? And no one that I know that we've been talking to, dozens and dozens of experts on our channel, are saying, well, phew, lucky we got through that. Now it's just settling down and getting back to what we know how to do. It's like there's no reason to think that we aren't hurtling forward in all of those vectors towards more overreach into our lives, loss of liberty, loss of privacy, loss of financial stability. It's going to be a lot more of those things we've talked about in the past coming to the fore. And in fact, we just sent out a personal appeal to our children. We have children that live all over the country and grandchildren, and asked our children to please take steps to be more prepared than they might otherwise have been and to not be dependent on needing to get out in the next week or two or three. You know, over the next few months here, there could be significant reason why they want to have more supplies on hand than they normally would.
Okay. And, you know, it's funny. Yeah, it really started with the repo boondoggle, repo meltdown. I think we might have talked around then, but certainly both did a number of videos saying, hey, this is a big deal. Fed's downplaying it. It's just another day in Fed fantasy land. Don't worry about anything. We got you covered. But look, when the pandemic, the so-called scamdemic hit, I told my children, who were both my daughters and their husbands, get out of New York City. Don't want to be there for this. I don't know what's going to happen. My guess is, if I had to guess, I would say it's going to be food riots, but there's going to be civil unrest. It was baked in the cake from the get-go. I don't consider myself any great prognosticator or pundit. It was just completely, completely obvious to me. And now here we are. We're getting ready for an election. Trump gets COVID. He's in the hospital. You got all these people wishing him dead, which is totally low class and repugnant. But that's what they do because they think, because they feel a certain way, however they express it is justified, and that you have to accept it. You know, you look at all this and you say, how is it going to get any better? Debt's going up. The currency is going to become worthless. At some point, I'm not saying today, tomorrow, maybe it's years from now, but it's certainly losing its value. And every fiat currency in the world is losing value right now, as opposed to gold and silver. What's the next step here?
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to tag. I know you're going to have John Rubino on on a recurring basis. We're going to have him on our channel this week as well. And he just published yesterday a article about gold going mainstream, which is a big deal because we had the first few investment banks intimating about a month ago that they're recommending gold to some of their clients. And now us and Wells Fargo come out and say, yeah, we think people should really look into gold, which is just remarkable, the timing of all this, because for the last 2 years, as the banks have been acquiring gold at record amounts, and you know about JP Morgan, of course, but there's others as well, at deeply discounted prices, shall we say, that had been, fastidiously arranged for them on the COMEX by certain actions that are being called a criminal enterprise by the Department of Justice. But in light of that, then having come out now and said, yeah, people should probably look into gold and silver, with gold already having surpassed its, you know, previous nominal all-time high and that sort of thing. People call me every day. Yeah, I know you have a relationship with Miles Franklin, I believe. Is that true?
Correct.
And, people call me every day, asking about, since I'm a independent representative for Miles Franklin, talking about how they can get, access to ways of protecting themselves and their families from what this financial turmoil. And part of that is talking about what Rick Rule has mentioned to us, that less than 0.5% of all investments are in either precious metals or even anything related to precious metals, you know, whether it's ETFs or funds, that sort of thing, and, or mining stocks. And yet, now you've got major, big name, mainstream banks coming out and telling their main investment clients that they should be looking into gold. So once the crowds awaken to that, when you say what's next, we can certainly expect that there's going to be a gold rush. And from Rick Rule talking about the past 9 major bull markets, had Pam and Marianne Aden from the Aden Forecast on and many others talking about how this generally plays out, and that this is has all the earmarks of being one of the biggest types of long-running bull markets for gold that could last. There's a discussion 2, 3, 5 years, and in that case, in the past, we've seen gold and silver make remarkable gains during those gold and silver bull markets, and they're expecting the same again. So that's one of the aspects that we've been talking to a lot of people about, is that we're still in the early innings from all of these experts' assessments of this move. And it's a reflection of grave concern and realistic concern as people see the money supply, so-called money supply, the currency supply, being inflated at a rate we've never seen before by the central banks, not just in the U.S., but globally, and realizing that we really are in a blow-off end game here of our fiat currency system. I mean, Alistair MacLeod was not one that usually makes any kind of dramatic declarations. You know, he's seen as a very level-headed guy, chief analyst at head of research at goldmoney.com, and he was talking about a banking crisis this year and a fiat crisis by the end of the year. So although it can be tricky to time or declare the timing of those things, he's seeing all the signs just marching towards, hurtling towards really a significant lockup in the credit system. He's got the list of undercapitalized banks, which are just getting to be beyond belief how overextended this debt bubble is.
Yeah, and yet there's a shortage of dollars. Go figure. Hey, one thing, our tagline was always, it's all about what's next. But we're changing it to now more than ever. Survival Network. You need us now more than ever. And I'm not being vain about it. It's just that all these experts for the past 10 years were blowing smoke, saying everything's fine, everything's back to normal. People like you and I, John Rubino, who actually was just on the show, and we talked about that flow of funds and investors into gold. All of us have been sounding the clarion call that entire time, and for that we were rewarded with being called doomers and didn't know what we were talking about and hurting people and all of this. And all I ever said was precious metals, once the bull market was over in 11, and I finally acknowledged it in 12, was it's an insurance policy, regardless what the price is doing. You know, your house probably isn't going to burn down tomorrow, Dunnigan, and it probably never will burn down. But that's not a reason to cancel your home insurance. Probably haven't been in an accident in 20 years. And you think, why, I've been given all that money to this insurance company for nothing. And yet you're not going to go cancel your auto insurance. All these things. Insurance isn't for normal sort of events. Insurance is for extraordinary circumstances, whether it's having your home burned down, your car, your business shut down, whatever it might be. And gold and silver are just another form of insurance. But the added kicker here that if you play your cards right, this is the greatest time to acquire generational worth, net worth, assets for Joe Sixpack. It's never been there. And one other thing I wanted to mention is you're in Ohio. The Ohio Fire Police and Fire Fund pension said they're going to put 5% of their money into gold. That was a big wake-up call. I can only imagine if all of the police and fire pension funds around the country put 5% of their funds, their assets, into precious metals. You can only imagine. I mean, that's they've got trillions of dollars combined, all of these pension funds, municipal pension funds. That could send things skyrocketing on its own. I mean, it's done against the question of which straw is going to break the camel's back.
It's interesting you brought up pension funds because that's been one of the glaring anomalies of this last decade is this looming, and John Rubino has talked about this as well, is this looming undercapitalization and potential failure of numerous private pension funds, some public pensions, some big name pension funds, some for states and for huge unions and that sort of thing. There, we've got aging demographic, we've got under contributions, but also, this is the kicker, they've all built their models based on assuming that they can always make 7 to 10% a year in the stock markets and bond markets combined. Bonds are paying nothing, and with stocks, and we saw them staggering, it dropped, the market dropped faster than it ever has in 1 week back in March of this year. When they saw that, I think it's reasonable to think that some of these struggling funds will be saying, well, gee, where else can we look for returns if we can't get them on treasury bonds? We can't, you know, so when they're looking at that and then the economy in shambles, there's going to be a need for other avenues for people to put money in or for large funds, including pension funds. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And I just thought it was funny, Ohio, because I thought of you right away. So, you know, Dunnigan's got to be paying attention to that. And what do the members think? Because if their pension funds start going in, then maybe we should get out of Robinhood and maybe start looking at some gold. All of this is speculative, but it seems to be inevitable. So had tremendous social unrest through numerous cities, 400 cities across the country. It's all been orchestrated and planned. There's no question of that. Far left, Antifa's, the Black Lives Matter, they're all behind it, along with certain politicians. And yet, Trump has not invoked the Insurrection Act yet. There's a rumor that once the election takes place, he's going to do it. Is that going to be enough to stop social unrest taking place across the country?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy's led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to TrilogyMetals.com. That's TrilogyMetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I'd like to talk about this in several, asking in a sense, the surface layer of what's going to stop the act. That's the thing we should talk to because that activity is well done. It is illegal and it's trespassing, it's damaging, it's theft, it's destruction, it's hurting, threatening people, murder, and causing. I remember when our sheriff talks about how he doesn't work for the governor, and he doesn't work for the mayor, and he doesn't work for the city council. He says he works for the people of this county, and my job is to keep the peace in this county. So every county in the United States has a sheriff whose job it is to keep the peace and who works for the people. And that's in the Constitution. In fact, it's the only law enforcement office that's mentioned in the Constitution. And when we've had Dr. Edwin Vieira on talking about the proper duty and role of the militias of the states, people have completely lost. People have no idea what you're talking about when you say the militias of the states, because when our country was founded and our Constitution of the United States was drawn together, all of the original 13 colonies, states had their own constitutions and had their own militia. So the idea is that every able-bodied man was supposed to be as armed as a typical infantry soldier to be able to stand up against all, insurrections, both, threats, both foreign and domestic, was baked into our country's founding, yet completely lost sight of that. So now we're wondering, well, who's going to call the cavalry? We're supposed to be the cavalry. We're supposed to be organized, trained, equipped. That's one thing. The other thing is we have to be careful when we say that we want some people's clamor for that strong man to take strong, bring in militarized forces against these. And you go, wait a minute. Maybe. But just think about this for a minute. Do we really, as independent states with free people living in those states, really want centralized military coming in? Because now we say we need them. It's like, well, why did we need them? We need them because, there was this orchestrated threat that was cooked up to create the situation. So let's not be patsies to it. Let's not fall into that trap and go, oh, we've got this bad thing happening. Let's call in the big guns. It's like, maybe that was exactly the plan. So let's make sure we think that through. And secondly, there's a real personal side to this. I've had, again, clients on House Franklin who are reaching out to take protective action, to get that insurance of precious metals, who directly were impacted. A restaurateur in Madison Avenue in New York City was there trying to protect their small family-run, very popular restaurant right there on Madison Avenue. As the mobs came down, smashing windows and loot, and 50 plus police cars with armed officers standing there to protect the rioters. They said they appealed to the police officer directly. They're breaking our stuff. They're stealing our stuff. And there were even some people being dragged out of the office and said, "We're here." We're on or under orders to stand down. Back away and just go get to safety, because that was under orders to stand down. So that's what you're talking about, the collusion of elected officials as well. So people, if this is our country, right, well, we need to be prepared, number one, to defend ourselves and our families and our homes, because you cannot just assume that officialdom is going to take care of you, because depending where you live, they may not. And we've seen lots of examples of that. Second, the sheriff in your county and frankly the population have the constitutional right and duty to keep order. And if we need to appeal for federal help, we have to be very careful. That's the next.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, what you've seen is the left, they've been pushing for federalized police all over the country for years. And this, I think, could very well be their bid to get that federalized police force, to have the feds, central government, in charge of all police. And it's funny, at the same time, the left tells you, you don't need a gun because the police will be there for you. Now we've seen what their police do, and now we see the population of the country, large, vast swaths, people who you'd never expect, Dunnigan, to buy a gun, out there by the millions, buying guns up so fast that there's an ammo shortage. Now, I kind of foresaw this a long time ago, made my preparations back in 08 and 09, so I'm kind of sitting back watching all this, and I'm thinking, well, how can anybody really be surprised by what's happening, and yet they seem to be in a state of shock.
Yeah, that's another thing about people, that one advice from Dr. Edwin Vieira about that the militia of the states, being the people of the states, are supposed to be as armed as an infantry soldier. They were required to be, to keep their weapon in good working order and have ammo and so on. So So this whole thing is also a misunderstanding. Like people say, well, the NRA says, well, you should be able to like, defend your home or be able to have hunting rifle. And it's like people, you know, people who are advocating, politicians are advocating about limiting gun restrictions, saying these are, you know, assault rifles. Or these are things that are only for military purposes. That's precisely what they were supposed to be for. That's the thing that made the concept of the civilian citizen militia of every single state capable of putting down unrest, both foreign and domestic. So good for you for having made that preparation. Don't feel discouraged, people, if you haven't done it yet. Just find a way. It's not too late and to actually get some training. There's, you know, concealed carry courses are a great way to understand what your practical and legal rights are and that sort of thing. And also doing some range training to make sure that you know how to use your weapon. Because any tool is only as good as your ability to use it properly. So
yeah, it's funny how all of a sudden the gun control debate just is gone. Nobody debating it anymore, saying, no, you shouldn't have guns. The police should have the monopoly on force. Now that we've seen what the police can be good for, and that's another reason why, going back to your argument about sheriffs, sheriff is a constitutional officer elected by the people of the county, often the most powerful politician in the county. And when riots are taking place, he's not going to get reelected. He's going to be finished. And I've even seen it in Palm Beach County here. We've got a as left could be sheriff, and half the county's population, well, the entire county falls under his jurisdiction, but half the county is so-called protected by the police. But the sheriffs were much more aggressive in stopping the unrest that took place here. We didn't have widespread, but there were some. When it took place in cities like West Palm Beach, they got away with a lot more. Not as much as in places like Portland and Seattle and New York and Chicago, but they got away with a lot more. In the unincorporated areas, because you have incorporated, those are cities and towns. They have their own police forces generally, unless they contract with either the sheriff's office or sometimes in some states they contract with the state police or police protection. But in the unincorporated areas, it's the sheriff's jurisdiction. And the sheriff can go into incorporated areas too, but they mainly patrol unincorporated areas. And things were much better, much calmer than in areas where we have the so-called professional police force headed up by a police commissioner who's appointed by the mayor, who, as we see in New York and in other cities, has their own agenda, and they want the riots. They think somehow it's going to impact President Trump's electability, far from the contrary, as we're going to find out. But, you know, all these things. So three pieces of advice for anyone listening, any of you listening here, any of your regular viewers on YouTube, Donegan, give us your three top pieces of advice.
Specifically about the civil unrest or in general?
In general, for the coming times, regardless, you know, what's going to happen, how do you best prepare?
I guess the first thing I would suggest is mental focus, and that is trust your gut, trust your eyes and your ears and what you believe to be the truth about what you're seeing happen around you, and do not trust the official stories you're being told from the mainstream media and from so-called official, you know, fact-check sources, because you've got to break out of that thing that we've all been lulled into over the past decades of time. I mean, just one bit of nugget of or silver lining that's part of this terrible lockdown that we've been through is that it brought things to light, it brought things to focus. Because one of the things that's beautiful that came out of that I'll talk about is a second piece of advice, but the first piece of advice is just open your eyes, because the people who would take away our freedom have tipped their hand during this period of time. It's happened financially, it's happened politically, it's happened in many different ways. You've seen that when push comes to shove, our central bankers, the people who are taking care of our currency and our finances, are just going to do reckless things with our currencies, whatever it takes to save the banks. They're not going to actually help individuals. So believe that. Trust your eyes. Trust your gut. The banks aren't there for you. Bonds aren't going to be safe. The currency isn't going to be safe. What are you going to do about it? That's number one.
We have to say it would be mentally prepare, right?
Right. And that's take advantage of the fact that the powers that be have tipped their hand here. The governor, the mayor, the police, they're not necessarily there for the good of the society, for the good of families. Trust what you saw, trust what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what are you going to do about it? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I would say, is people think, just like we all went through, I guess there's another fruit that came from the lockdown, is what will happen, what will you do if suddenly you don't have access to the things that you've become accustomed to having easy access to? So we're all accustomed to having daily, weekly access to whatever we want to order. My wife uses our dog supplies. I call it click, click, ding, dong. It's so fast. She clicks her mouse and the doorbell rings pretty much. Also the other things that delivery food and fresh stuff at the grocery store and all those things that you expect to be able to just go out and get fuel for your car, whatever. What will you do if your ability to do that, to access that, is interrupted? If there is unrest, weeks or months of very air. We even saw the wildfires. My daughter was in an area up of Oregon where the air quality index was in the not just unhealthy, but hazardous range for like a week on end. So what will you do if the very basic things that you need are unavailable? What are you going to do about it? It's not crazy. It's not conspiracy theory. We've seen it happen. What are you going to do if it happens again? And then the third thing I wanted to save till last was another thing. I guess it's another fruit that came out of this lockdown, and that's with families being at home together, children switching to homeschooling, people being back in their neighborhoods, is realize that we don't have tomorrow. We don't have next year. All we have is the present moment that we have today. And if your family is as precious to you as mine is to me, what are you going to do about that structurally to change your life, to change your priorities so that you can keep that good thing going that came out of this dark time, which is that reawakened awareness of the preciousness of family, how fleeting and fragile a lot of our other structures and assumptions and everything are, but that's what really matters. So hold on to your faith and hold on to your family, do what you need to do to change your life, to be able to really make that meaningful going forward, because no one can promise you what tomorrow or 10 years or whatever it's going to be like. But what are you going to do to take care of your faith and your family today?
And I couldn't have said it better. I wound up spending 3 months with my son during the lockdown, the pandemic. He was here for a few different things. Wound up staying for 3 months because he couldn't go back to Europe.
Same thing we had happen.
It was a great thing. You know, we really had a good time. A little bit of a drag because nothing was open. But again, that goes back to your admonition of what if everything you do in your life is totally disrupted, which it was during the pandemic. You need to find other ways to enjoy life, to enjoy your relationships. It all comes down to relationships, family, friends, community, town, city, state. And that's what you need to be looking at. And goes back to Charles Hughes Smith, twominds.com. This is what he's been telling you for over a decade now. Hey, Dunnigan, just tell us again, website, best place to find you and how we connect with you on the web.
Sure. People go to libertyandfinance.com, or you can go to youtube.com/libertyandfinance. And for anyone who wants to get out of their exposure to the banking system and the stock markets and reduce that risk, we can, if they go to libertyandfinance.com, there's a section called bullion sales. We'd be happy to help them. My phone number is there, my email address as well.
All right, excellent. And, of course, send us an email with your thoughts, kl@kerrylutz.com. Check out our website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, now more than ever. And sign up for a free newsletter, a lot of helpful info there. Dunnigan, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.